All right. How's everybody feeling today? This is Message Mon here. Can you hear me now? Now check this out. It's October, Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and domestic violence is where I got my introduction into working with foundations and working for a cause and helping people, because I came from the Nicole Brown Charitable Foundation back right after, you know, Nicole and Ron were murdered. I got with them and I stuck with them for like 18 years and did all kinds of cool stuff to help other people. So for Domestic Violence Awareness Month, I'm going to be doing a series of interviews and podcasts and talking to people about domestic violence. But to set it off, to kick it off, I want to tell you a story about domestic violence that happened to me when I was a child, when I was like 15. You know, I had an experience with domestic violence, and this domestic violence actually broke up my family's band. We had a family band, and domestic violence was the cause of the band breaking up. I want to tell you that story. Are you ready? Here it comes. How domestic violence broke up my family band. This is a story about how domestic violence broke up my family band. A message, Mom, folks. Can you hear me now? All right. I want to tell you a true story about my experience with domestic violence as a child and how it broke up my family band. Now, in 1973 is when we put the family band together. And, you know, we had a four-year-old drummer. We were like another J5. Everybody's first name started with the name, with the letter J. You know, the four J's. We were like rocking it. My little brother was kicking it on the little small drum set and shit. And something happened that it was a natural occurrence that a natural occurrence combined with domestic violence that broke up the family band. The natural occurrence was I fell in love. Now, here's a picture of the pretty little white girl I fell in love with. She was 14 years old. She was a flute player in the band, and I was playing drums in the band at the time. Timpani. Gerald, you ever played a timpani? I was playing, I played all kinds of stuff in the marching band that my little so-called brother who plays all the instruments had never played. Gerald, you ever played a flute or a saxophone or a trumpet? I don't think so. A tuba? Anyhow, I used to play all of that stuff, and I don't want to get sidetracked. Anyhow, I met this little flute player in the marching band, and she was 14, I was 16 at the time, and we became friends. You know, I liked her. Matter of fact, she was a girlfriend of a friend of mine, Mike Tortoretta or something, and she was with him before she was with me. He was an Italian dude. He was a brown dude, too. So anyhow, Robin started to like me. I started to like her, and she lived in my neighborhood. So one day, we're walking home from school, just talking, not holding hands, not looking like a couple or anything, just walking down the street talking. And I walked past her house. It was right there in the corner of Geronimo and wherever that street is. And her dad was in the front yard with a rake. He was raking the yard. So I said, see you later, Robin. And I walked on up the hill and went on home and probably practiced or something, because Dad was making us practice. So the next day when I got to school, I got back to school, she was bruised from head to toe. I said, what happened to you? She started crying and said, my dad saw me talking to you yesterday and he beat me with the rake. I go, what? She was bruised from head to toe, man. I mean, wow. So, you know, when you do that shit to kids, it doesn't make them stay away. They start to like each other more. I go, wow, you went through that type of abuse for me, huh? Wow. And she wasn't trying to give up, you know. So it happened again. I don't remember how it happened the second time, but he saw her talking to me one more time, and he beat her with a rake or a shovel or something. He used to like to beat her with whatever was in his hands. So she came to school bruised up like that twice. And it was like those two occurrences were probably a year apart. You know, they didn't happen back to back. And so by that time, she was like 15. And so when she turned 16, you know, we had her, we were boyfriend and girlfriend, but we hid it from her parents, you know. They didn't know that she was still seeing me. And so when she turned 16, they got her this Volkswagen. And she drove it over to my mom's house, to or where I was living. And my mom at the time, she was like, she wasn't having it. Mom wasn't even nowhere near down with the racism. So she goes, Robin, here, park your car in my garage. And that way she parked her car in the garage in case her parents drove down the street. They wouldn't know she was there. And she parked it, she hung out. And when she was pulling it out of the garage, her mom drove down the street and caught her pulling her car out of our garage. And so they didn't beat her that time. They said, either you marry him or we're going to put you in juvenile hall because you're incorrigible. So I went to Vegas. I married this pretty little thing right here. And that made me have to move out of the house, which broke up the family band because everybody else was living in the house. And so I had to move out and work and shit. You know, I started working as a bank teller. And she started working as a maid. And we did that for about 6-7 months. And I got a gig with the Silvers. And I quit my bank job and took off on the road and did arena tours for 2 years. By that time, she was close to 18, and we annulled it, but she was an emancipated adult. I got her away from her abusive father, and, you know, we never had any kids or nothing. So, but the band was done. Band was dust after that, because once I started taking off on the road, the family band was dust, you know. I got married, got a gig, took off, family band, dust. So I probably wouldn't have gotten married if it hadn't been for the domestic violence, you see. And the family band probably would have lasted a little bit longer. I don't know about that gig I got. I don't know how that came about, but my cousin Ronnie. Anyhow, that's my story about domestic violence. Now, this story gets better because years later, I was sitting in a bar in Laguna Beach, and this gray-haired guy walks up to me. He goes, is your name James? I go, yes. He goes, my name is Max Selga. It was Robin's dad. He goes, I just want to apologize to you for what I did to you when you were a kid. You know, me and Julie were playing in bars. We were playing in some gay bar on Laguna Beach when he walked up to me. Not saying he's gay, but he goes, I really want to apologize to you for what I did to you when I was a kid. I apologize. He goes, let me buy you a dinner and a drink. And so I went right into Max around town. And, you know, his wife finally left him. And turns out that he wasn't Robin's dad. It was Robin's stepdad. But every time I'd see him, he'd buy me some food or drink or something. So it's like I had a father-in-law without the wife. He apologized. I forgave him. That's the name of that tune. Max, wherever you are, you're probably not around anymore. Rest in peace. Love you, man.